flat line. I just wanna flat line. Maybe this is all my fault. But I just wanna flat line. I just wanna flat line. Maybe we going too far.
Welcome back to the Flatline Fitness Podcast. This is your host, Joel Cummins, and
Garrett Augsburger.
Today we're back to talk about artificial sweeteners. I think that this is something that a lot of people can relate to in daily life, as well as the health and fitness industry. There's usually two people on either side of the spectrum. It's either artificial sweeteners are the devil, or, you know, I drink it like a can of diet soda with every meal kind of thing. I think that we stand in a pretty open perspective as far as artificial sweeteners, but today we're going to try and spit some raw truth out there, especially for people that hate on artificial sweeteners.
Yeah, they get a bad rap. The media blows a lot of things out of proportion, a lot of early studies that you've seen, and you know, people just take these articles and run with them. But take a little deeper dive into the literature and you might find some things that surprise you.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, especially when people... If you think of something that's replacing sugar, and we'll touch on this at the end, but if you want to start comparing an artificial sweetener to actually consuming sugar, then you have, now you have a completely new comparison. It's like, is having this artificial sweetener better than sugar? And sometimes if you can put that into perspective, it just widens your eyes a little bit. And you just be like, okay, well, maybe it's just not near as bad as I think.
Well, you have to remember what you're replacing it with.
Exactly. Right? It's like, if you're going to replace sugar, you know, sugar gets a bad rap too, and we can probably also touch on sugar and why it's not the devil as well. But if you're going to be replacing sugar with an artificial sweetener, then you need to think of that as more of a broad comparison, and just instead of saying that artificial sweeteners are the devil, think of the purpose of why there are artificial sweeteners, and it's because it's replacing something that can inherently be bad.
Right, kind of thing.
So as far as artificial sweeteners, Garrett, do you know where you would like to start?
Well, let's start with why they get a bad rap.
Yeah.
It's like, why did they get that negative limelight, you know, the stereotypes you get, aspartame and cancer, you know, sucralose and diabetes, whatever it might be.
So, one of the biggest things, and this goes for a lot of things in studies, is, you know, causation versus correlation.
Correct.
You have to know the difference, and just because there's a correlation between two things does not mean that one caused the other. Like, let's just say little Johnny opens up a lemonade stand near the beach. Two more shark attacks happen that week. Did little Johnny
cause a shark attack?
That's it.
You never know. Could be.
One of my professors liked to use that analogy. Yeah. And it was just like, if you start to think of it that way, then you're like, okay, well, just because someone's consuming artificial sweeteners, does that mean that they're going to have cancer in a couple of years? I mean, no, absolutely not. Does some of the research, you know, I'll put quotation marks, tend to show that there's cancer related, you know, maybe, but it also depends on things like general population. Are people that, or most people that drink artificially sweetened beverages and things like that, are usually people that have sedentary lifestyles. Right. They've also been shown to be high, like heavy smokers, drinkers, things like that.
So it's, you got to think of it as the, with the population details, right? They're usually using these artificial sweeteners, like in, you know, drinking Diet Cokes, but guess what? They're also drinking Diet Cokes with a cheeseburger or with large fries. But I'm going to get a Diet Coke, so make it better, right?
Hey, yeah. I mean, I do that. But. Yeah.
No, I mean, so it, you are limiting your calories in that aspect. Yep. But with all these studies, they're showing, you know, citing causation instead of correlation when they're not looking at all these other lifestyle habits that are in play with these individuals that are in test trials.
Yeah, they're just, a lot of them are just broad case studies, and they're able to see, like from population, that like most people that consume artificial sweeteners, you know, maybe they have these unhealthy behaviors and stuff like that, and absolutely that's the deal. Like, for instance, one of my uncles, I remember a few years ago, I mean, he's loaded up on Diet Coke in his fridge. And I hope he's listening to this. And I was like, oh, you're on Diet Coke. And he's like, man, I've been on Diet Coke for years. It's just like, is he a healthy person? I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, he used to be pretty buff. So right. I'll give him that a little bit. But it's you can't draw that comparison and just be like, this caused this kind of thing. And a lot of that happened because a lot of the studies in the early and late 90s, especially on aspartame and sucralose, uh-huh. In rodents, showed that there were some pretty negative side effects associated with these sweeteners.
Right.
So as far as aspartame and sucralose, why do you think we saw such bad reports in studies?
So it was due to pretty much like one or two studies that they did on rodents, right? Mm-hmm. Where they introduced the rodents to aspartame.
Aspartame's the devil, man.
And showed that it led to signs of cancer, different kinds of cancer in, mm-hmm. in these rodents. But what wasn't reported by the general media and whatnot
yep.
after the study was how much aspartame these rodents were given.
Yeah.
Right? The rodents were given equivalent to like 19 cans of diet soda.
It's insane.
It was in one serving, correct?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
In one serving. So in order for aspartame to be conceivably dangerous to us, we would have to drink like 3 2-liters at a time.
Yeah.
In order to get these same effects.
I made a little note, and one study mentioned that the total toxicity level is the equivalent to 36 liters of diet soda in a day.
That's absolutely insane. Yes. Yeah. So in order for people to just make the general claim that that aspartame is going to cause cancer, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
You'd have to have a huge dosage of it. This in a safe dosage is something around like 50 milligrams per kilogram of body weight a day, mm-hmm. Which that's
still pretty high.
That's like 18 cans of soda.
Yeah.
And that's your safe dosage. Yeah. Right. That's your safe dosage.
Yeah. Unless you're gonna be like waterboarding yourself with diet soda.
Yeah.
I think you're gonna be okay. And it is funny that there is a mechanism of aspartame. For instance, methanol can be converted from aspartame.
Right.
However, that doesn't occur in the body unless we get to toxic levels. So, for instance, that methanol can be converted also to formaldehyde in the body, mm-hmm. which can relate to toxicity.
Right.
But you have to have an enormous amount of aspartame yeah. in your system to cause that. And that's also what we saw in studies, is that methanol can be produced from toxic levels, but we never get to toxic levels.
Exactly. Unless you're just hitting that 36 2 liters a day.
You're just in bed watching Netflix.
Yeah. Normally when it's metabolized into phenylalanine and aspartic mm-hmm. acid, which, I mean, we can talk about, PKU
yep.
a little bit. You know, people with PKU, phenylketonuria, they actually do have to watch out for their aspartame
yep.
because of that phenylalanine being produced
yep.
when they consume it, and when aspartame is metabolized by the body.
Yep.
Have PKU, you already know this. If you don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You would know if you had PKU. So.
Yeah, there are certain genetic components related to artificial sweeteners and how you respond. And I think I looked at a study that's also similar with PKU and sucralose mm-hmm. just because of the chloride that's involved.
Right.
If your doctor has some information as to why you shouldn't drink artificial sweeteners, then maybe you shouldn't. But for the general public, we're speaking for the general public today.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So we talked about why aspartame gets a bad rap. Why
yeah.
does another big one, sucralose, get a bad rap?
So, sucralose, it sounds extremely similar to sucrose,
yes,
which is just our normal table sugar.
Uh-huh.
The only difference is sucralose has chloride attachments to its molecule, which helps our body to not recognize it as a caloric value.
Yep, and so
we just excrete it.
Excrete it, yep.
Which is fine, but a lot of people have said that, you know, maybe sucralose affects gut bacteria because of the chloride involved.
Right.
In studies, we have not seen any sort of major GI distress or anything like that. But what we have seen is a small increase in insulin and blood glucose levels.
Right.
But it's so minor in comparison to sugar. So, for instance, your normal insulin spike to something like, you know, like a piece of cake or something like that in relation to sucralose or Splenda, because Splenda is that sweetener. If you were to compare those two, that insulin and blood glucose response from sucralose is so minute in relation to actual table sugar, it's ridiculous. So when people try and say that you're going to have metabolic syndrome from things like sucralose, I'm like, it's not even close to just something like sugar.
No, that blood sugar response is not nearly high enough.
It's amazing. So people are like, oh my gosh, you're going to get diabetes from, well, actually it's the complete opposite. No. So you're not going to get diabetes. I think one thing that, you know, and Garrett and I also saw these studies, and what was funny is they are in fruit flies and rodents.
Yes.
But sucralose, that taste of sweet might lead to over-consuming food. But you would also think the same thing would happen from just regular sugar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, there were two studies done on fruit flies and rodents. I think there are mice. And
it was mice.
Was it mice? Mm-hmm. And the mice and the fruit flies overconsumed on food. But
After the intake of sucralose, correct?
Yeah, sucralose.
Yeah.
So if you were to think of that in a more like general perspective, like if you were to have sugar, I know for me, if I have one taste of sugar, I want to eat a lot.
Yes.
So I think that's more psychological than it is like metabolic or anything like that. So I think in general, you do have that pleasure system as far as like, dang, I'm getting something sweet. My taste buds are lighting up. I kind of want to eat more of what I'm eating or go eat more after this. In general, if you have a good relationship with food, I don't think it's going to be as major of a factor for you. If someone, you know, tends to binge or something like that, I'd rather you binge on a diet soda over soda.
Yes.
So, I mean...
Yeah, because, I mean, with you're at least replacing those refined sugars as you would get in a soda with an artificial that doesn't have any caloric value. You're helping your caloric intake, at least, at the very least, you know.
I will note that the insulin and blood glucose response from sucralose is only seen in obese individuals. I forgot to note that. And it's, if you were to compare it to just regular healthy population, there has been zero response as far as insulin and blood glucose. And the only reason it might be happening in obese individuals is just because they simply have more cells on their body because they are bigger. Correct. So they have more cells, so they might have more nutrient delivery systems and stuff like that. As well as they might be more relatable to possible diabetic effects, you know. So I think sucralose is safe. I think the data shows that sucralose is safe. So that's my take on it, and I think Garrett would agree.
I agree. I mean, obviously, it's better than, you know, your regular table sugar, things like that. You're not going to get cancer or diabetes from sucralose. Like, it's just not going to happen.
It's very funny.
It's funny how those stereotypes have come around. But, I agree. I think it's safe. It's generally removed and eliminated through the urine. Like, it's fine. So how about, like... Some of the other ones, like saccharin or ACE-K or...
Okay, let's do ACE-K.
ACE-K, okay.
Okay, so ACE-K has been around for a long time. It is 200 times sweeter than table sugar.
ACE-K is acesulfame potassium.
Yeah, so yeah, when we say ACE-K, Garrett just said the chemical compound. As far as ACE-K... It has, I think, the least amount of research in comparison to sucralose and
aspartame.
Aspartame.
Yeah. There's not a lot of data on it.
It doesn't have a whole lot of data on it. It is toxic in very large dosages, but we haven't seen anything as far as like negative side effects from just regular intake. I don't have a whole lot of anything against Ace K.
I don't either. It's been shown in toxic or at dangerously high levels, right? But it'd be very difficult to get to those high levels unless you're just absolutely trying to.
Yeah. I think that's kind of like an aspartame case.
They have some animal studies on it, but there's still not a lot of human studies.
Yeah, so. There's only a handful of human studies, and ACE-K has been shown to be safe in animals and has been shown to be safe for the human studies that we have. Now, in general, sometimes that they can give dosage ranges and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. However, ACE-K, if you're having it in moderation, you should not be scared by any means. The only breakdown product of this chemical is acetoacetamide. I don't even know how to say it. Which can be toxic, kind of like how I talked about methanol coming from aspartame in very large dosages. ACE-K can convert to a toxic level of acetoacetamide if you have too much, but it's extremely difficult to have too much. Do you have anything else you'd like to touch on for ACE-K?
No, not on ACE-K. I do not.
All right, saccharin or stevia?
Let's go saccharin, and then we'll get into the stevia, the plant-based stuff.
Okay, so as far as saccharin, it was first attempted to be banned.
Yeah, it's the only one. Okay,
well,
all of these are FDA approved.
Yes, right? All of them.
This was the first, and I think the only one that's been attempted by the FDA to be banned. Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, but this was all after just some animal studies that linked it with cancer in rodents.
Yeah.
Which again, you know, you have to take the rodent studies with a grain of salt.
Yep.
But I mean, they are mammals, so there are some correlative physiological similarities between them and us.
Yep.
But it was also with super high doses in these studies that they saw these cancer related incidences go up.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of those cases where they found correlation, but not causation.
Correct, yeah.
Even from the dosages that they were giving in the studies, they were giving them a pretty high amount.
Mm-hmm.
They started looking at more like they'd have titles like diet soda causes diabetes or diet soda causes cancer during this phase of where saccharin was more on the market. And that was because they were looking at more like epidemiological studies and stuff like that. And they weren't giving it enough attention as far as like what actually happens when we consume saccharin.
Right.
And to be honest, it's a little bit less studied. If you're going to have two sweeteners, I usually recommend sucralose or aspartame.
Right. And there's the most research on them. All generally shown it to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Things like saccharin, a little harder to find, too. They're only used in a couple of things, like Sweet and Low, I mean, which is all over the place. But
yep.
I think, like, Tab,
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
And some fountain drinks, but very few of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Aspartame and sucralose are the ones you're going to find more often.
Which is hilarious, because aspartame, even in most conversations that I have with the normal gym goer or person in public,
right,
it's like aspartame is the first one that they think is like, God, don't drink cancer or anything like that. You're literally drinking cancer. Like, and I want to say aspartame is probably the safest of all of the compounds.
Yes.
And it's also most studied, which is crazy. So another sweetener is stevia. No, as far as stevia, it's a natural sweetener.
Plant-based, yeah. It comes it from the stevia
rubidiana
plant. So yes. It is a natural sweetener.
It's not
artificially produced.
It is extremely sweet. It is 300 times the sweetness of normal sugar. The one thing as far as health benefits from stevia is that it might actually have the ability to improve insulin sensitivity. But what is funny is that it has a lower toxicity level than the other sweeteners. You would think that the natural sweetener would have a higher capacity before you reach toxic levels. It's just not true. So roughly 4 to 8 milligrams per kilogram of body weight.
Right.
It's still very, very safe. I would say if you were having like a stevia sweetened beverage, it would probably be like 20 diet soda cans sweetened with stevia in a day.
The only studies I saw that showed negative effects were super high levels, and they showed these high doses had like were linked to like fertility problems in animal trials. But again, it was ridiculously high levels that they were giving them.
Yep.
Something that would be realistically impossible for us to get to in a day. Also, I saw something else interesting as far as stevia goes. There's a couple studies that showed that it might induce breast cancer cell apoptosis.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Stevia. I was a little curious like on that. Yeah.
Really?
It was one singular trial that showed that it was causing there was a correlation. It could have been causing
being cell, careful with our words.
Cell apoptosis in breast cancer cells. So it hasn't been duplicated, but I thought it was interesting.
Interesting. I do know that there's interactions with cells in the pancreas as far as insulin release with stevia. Mm-hmm. I'm curious because I wonder if you would have that same reaction with something like sucralose that has a minor effect on
maybe
insulin.
Maybe so,
I don't know. Man, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Cellular apoptosis in breast cancer.
In general, I like stevia above anything else.
Yeah.
One for taste.
I don't like the taste of stevia. Garrett likes the taste of stevia.
Stevia goes in my coffee every morning.
I find it very bitter, but
I love it. And in general, there's been some anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties seen to it. It's a little more natural, so
it is more natural.
I like to stick with that as much as possible if I'm going to open a packet of artificial sweetener, you know.
Yep. Yeah, I like the thought of stevia and the thought of it being more natural, and I guess I have had some sweetened beverages with stevia where I'm like, okay, this is tolerable. I like me a good can of aspartame, man. I like my aspartame.
You like your Diet Cokes, huh?
I do like my Diet Cokes. I'm a weirdo, but if my favorite sweetener is definitely aspartame or sucralose.
Yeah. Okay, for artificials, I'd have to go aspartame. But overall, I'll pick stevia every time.
I wanted to touch on sugar alcohols. Okay. So sugar alcohols are a whole nother different animal.
It's a new can of worms here.
That is a whole new can of worms. So the one thing is sugar alcohols do have science on them altering gut bacteria. That is something that, so if you ever have sugar alcohols and you get a little gassy, so for instance, myself, people that I know, family members, especially my mom, if you consume a decent amount of sugar alcohols, you might be able to clear a room, or you might be visiting the toilet pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And that's just because they do produce a lot of gas when you consume sugar alcohols. So things like sorbitol, erythritol, maltitol, sugar alcohols like that, they do have a slight caloric value. So they are not technically a non-nutritive sweetener because
they carry a caloric value.
They do carry a caloric value. They're roughly half the caloric value. But what's nice about them is that you can bake with them, you can make products with them, and they taste pretty good.
Right.
So I would say in moderation, sugar alcohols are okay. However, if you find that it makes you, you know, not feel good or something like that, I would rather you have something like aspartame or sucralose over sugar alcohols. Now, in general, I'm not going to demonize sugar alcohols, but I think in general, if you were to pick a sweetener, mm-hmm. I would pick, you know, something over those sugar alcohols. I think the sugar alcohol that has the most study on it is erythritol. So if you were to pick one sugar alcohol, I would go with erythritol.
Right.
There's also another one that's a little bit more natural, and it's xylitol, so with an X. And I do find that that one is a little bit more natural, and it tastes a little bit better. And I think that erythritol and xylitol have two of the, or they are two of the more studied sugar alcohols. So if you were to consume one, those would probably be the two that I'd go with. And then things like sorbitol and malitol, those are going to be a little bit, they don't have as much research, and I tend to have more personal problems with them, right. just because they create more gas in myself, mm-hmm. so I avoid them. So if you were to pick a sweetener, definitely go for something on the first list. So I would normally right. avoid sugar alcohols.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, and they have a pretty negligible effect on all your blood sugar levels. So,
yeah.
I'm
it's better than sugar.
Yes.
I'll say that. It's better than sugar.
They're about 60, 70 times better than sugar as far as, you know, when compared to the glycemic index and things yep. like that. Yeah, so the sugar alcohols, generally fine. They do carry a caloric value, but like Joel said, stick to the, you know, artificial sweeteners if possible.
Mm-hmm. And now I kind of want to wrap it up with the thought of artificial sweeteners versus sugar. And this is where I'm going to have the conversation and say that sugar is not the devil.
It is not the devil. No. Gets a bad rap, obviously.
It does get a bad rap. Especially
because overconsumption causes a lot of problems.
It does.
Keyword, overconsumption.
Mm-hmm.
But it is easy to overconsume, right?
It is.
It hits the pleasure centers of the brain, and you want more. I want more. You get you some chocolate cake, you want all the chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, in safe dosages, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. I mean, in general, you know, human population, we like the taste of sweet. The one thing about artificial sweeteners is we can have that taste of sweet without the repercussions of added calories
yep.
and, you know.
No effect on the glycemic index, things mm-hmm. like that. Yeah.
Do I think that you should be slamming artificial sweeteners all day long?
No.
I would say no. And what's funny is I'll come in contact with people that's like, oh, well, I don't put artificial sweeteners in my body. And they're drinking things like pre-workout, BCAAs, and stuff throughout the day. And I'm like, what do you think your product is
exactly,
sweetened
but
with?
What, how do you think that got sweet?
Exactly.
How do you think that it wasn't with just table sugar, I promise you that.
Yeah, it's like, why does it taste good? Yeah. Why do you think it actually tastes good?
Exactly. They think just because they're not opening a packet of it and pouring it.
Exactly.
You know, they're keeping it out of their body.
I'm not drinking diet soda, and I'm not putting Splenda in my, you know, my sweet tea
right.
or something like that. So, in general, if you're going to be, you know, having the comparison between sugar and artificial sweetener, you know, it just depends, you know. It comes to one of those, it mm-hmm. depends. Like, if someone is going through a muscle building phase and they can afford the calories, go for the...
That's fine,
go
yeah.
for the chocolate cake, man.
Yeah, sure, yeah. I'm not gonna...
Garrett can't.
No, I cannot right now, currently. But, you know, that's my own choice.
Yeah.
It's totally, totally fine.
Oh, yeah. Do they even know that you're on prep
only
right now?
Five more weeks till show one,
that's
seven
true.
More weeks till show two, so...
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a little more restricted.
Yeah, so
than normal.
Stevia is his friend right now.
Yes, it is. I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm. So I'd say for the major dieters out there, utilize your artificial sweeteners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
No.
I do preach everything in moderation. Like, in general, studies will still, at the end of the day, only be studies. You know, if you have 10 cans of diet soda every day for the rest of your life, could that have negative side effects in the future? You know, possibly,
yeah.
because it's chronic.
There's not a lot of studies that look at that chronic intake. So
I know.
It's hard for researchers to track these kind of things in populations over a lifetime, yeah, over a decade, 5 years, even a year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's so expensive. It's really, really expensive.
It is. It's hard to run studies like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the data is not there on a lot of chronic intakes, but you can take what you see with the acute studies and basically apply it over a lifetime.
Yep.
To a point. So, yeah.
Everything in moderation.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree.
So that's how I want to wrap up today's podcast. I do want to allude to next podcast. We will be talking about show prep next podcast.
Part two.
We've been waiting a while to have part two. Next podcast for show prep part two is going to mainly cover things like myths and things that are dumb to do on prep, yes, around peak week, getting on stage, things like that, and why people do such protocols, mm-hmm, and why people don't do such protocols. So I'm actually really excited for that one,
yeah,
as well.
No, there's a lot of good stuff that we can talk about for sure that hopefully helps some people out if you're thinking about competing. Before you listen to that, be sure you listen to our part one. That was more of a general overview. We talked about what it's like, what it takes, things like that. This one will be a little more in depth, like Joel said, with the myths and, you know, different kind of processes people undertake,
mm-hmm,
closure to show, things like that, day of. So
yeah,
still really interesting.
How much dandelion root do I need to, drop water to step on stage, Garrett?
We'll talk all about that. Don't worry. Okay. All the dandelion root.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I got like 3 different diuretics I thought about taking.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
Waist trainers?
Definitely. Definitely okay. The waist trainers.
Okay.
No, we busted that myth already, didn't
we? I know, we'll talk about that next time. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed a little bit of info on artificial sweeteners today. They're not the devil. I like them. Garrett likes, mm-hmm, them. Of course, we'll probably still get some hate from this, but if you want to cause an argument, let's go.
Who cares?
We'll talk about artificial sweeteners. Yeah. All right, this is Joel signing off.
And Garrett.
All right, thanks for tuning in, guys. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Bye. But I just want a flat line. I just want a flat line. Maybe this is all my fault. But I just want a flat line. I just want a flat line. Maybe we going too far.